Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Yes, Michael, a very good morning to you. It's been an interesting week in Dáil Éireann. More housing rows, more consternation, more rows and consternation in the Oireachtas Committee. There are too many repeats on RTE, maybe Killinescully, or maybe it's Ballymagash we're talking about there. But there's lots to get into. We're going to start, though, and we're going to mention, first of all, the Kerry Association in Dublin. You've a new head honcho, is that right?
I have indeed, Gerry. Took over last night as chairperson.
Sorry, so wait, just lost you for a second there, Michael. Who took over?
Mary Shanahan, Gerry, from Valencia Island.
Mm, okay.
We had our AGM in Wynn's Hotel in Dublin last night. Very successful, very good turnout. I know a lot of people who in Kerry, from Kerry in Dublin, tune into Radio Kerry on the internet, so I send them greetings this morning. Very good turnout. Now, Mary has taken over as chairperson from Keelan Kazan from Liselton. Keelan, of course, had a very difficult job as chairperson because of COVID. And in fact, Gerry, and she did a superb job, brilliant chairperson. And in fact, Gerry, looking at the minutes of the last AGM last night, one had to pinch oneself because it was 2019. COVID stopped a lot of activity. But anyway, Mary is now chairperson. She's previously been secretary and vice chairperson. And incredibly, actually, Mary's the fourth person from Valencia and the third woman from Valencia to chair the association. Prior chairpersons were the late Tony Mackey, Maura Hughes, or Maura Connors, as she would have been known locally, and Eileen O'Sullivan. And so it's a big. She gave a very good rousing speech, actually, which was required, I suppose, after COVID. And she's looking very thrilled by her appointment and looking forward. And the best, as I say, to Keelan Kazan, her predecessor. And by the way, Gerry, just on that, the association wishes well to the people in the Kerry Writers Museum, who next weekend, Friday, April the 28th, and Saturday the 29th, have a celebration of the life of Brendan Kennelly, a former Kerry Person of the Year, the first recipient of the Kerry Association's Culture Award, and of course a great Kerry man and a great friend of the association over the year. Now, Declan Kyberg will be there with guest Mary McAuliffe. There'll also be song and music. And I think, Gerry, one of the things that emerged during COVID, actually, the number of people who said to me that Brendan's poem, Begin, was a kind of theme poem for those of us trying to get through pandemic and lockdown and all that. And by the way, though, Gerry, just to put Gaelic football in context in Kerry, Brendan used to tell a great story about being back in Kerry, distinguished Trinity academic, great poet, star of the Late Late Show, a proud son of Belly Longford, and he was introduced to an elderly man in those terms. And the elderly man looked at him and he said, "Are you the Baeen who lost us the All-Ireland?" He never forgave Brendan.
There you go.
As he thought, losing an All-Ireland minor, All-Ireland minor championship against Dublin in the 50s. And as Brendan used to say, "What's worse," he says, "there's actually old newsreel footage of it."
Oh my God. That's the worst outcome possible from that situation. Michael, lots of talk and discussion on housing. We want to talk, though, first of all, about Michael Fitzmaurice and his suggestion, looking at the way the numbers are, looking at the polling figures and looking at the possible makeup of a future government, not too long in the offing now, a general election, and certainly local and Europeans to concentrate the mind as well for the political parties. But he's saying, look, if we want to affect change, if we want to have a concrete way of changing course, particularly when it comes to their objections to the climate action provisions and changes along the lines there for farming and for rural Ireland, we need to start a rural party. Two very firm no's from the Healy Ray brothers yesterday morning on this show.
Yeah, I heard the Healy Ray brothers being interviewed, Terry, yesterday morning, and a very firm no, absolutely. Not surprised. I think the Healy Rays are going to retain the independence of their position. And I suppose when you think back on it, they may well feel that when their father, Jackie Healy Ray, was a member of a political party, was badly burned and badly treated by Fianna Fáil in 1997, but the rest is history. I think they're going to remain solidly independent. They also have the equivalent of what, you know, might look like a small political party at the moment.
Three councillors and two TDs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I join another party, I think... I can see where Michael Fitzmaurice is coming from, Jerry, and he's a very skilled, very able man and all that. But a lot will depend on who he gets on board. And also, if you start a new party, there are practical things like funding, a party headquarters, a general secretary, you know, all that kind of thing, and that requires money. And also, you certainly will get support in rural Ireland, but would a new political party, if it was to emerge on the scene now, need a broader base? Now, if you look back historically, actually, at rural parties and farmer parties, you have to go way back. There was a farmers' party, also known as the Farmers' Union, an organisation of the larger farmers, contested all elections from 1922 to 32. At one stage, it won 15 seats, and then it declined at 4 seats in 32, and eventually faded away. Now, that was very different to what Michael Fitzmaurice has in mind. It was a conservative and ex-unionist group. The nearest comparison, Jerry, would be Clanathalm, founded by John Donnellan at Athenry in 1938 to represent small farmers. He won 10 seats, actually, in the 43 general election, and 9 in 44. But again, in time, it faded. And in fact, when John Donnellan died suddenly in 1964, he was a Clanathalm TD. His son, John Donnellan, famous Galway footballer, was persuaded by Fine Gael to run in the by-election, and he won a seat for Fine Gael, and later became, in fact, a Fine Gael junior minister. So from that point of view, there's no precedent for what Michael Fitzmaurice is talking about, unless you go way back decades.
Yeah. And certainly, as Michael, one listener gets in touch, says, look, independent TDs may not want to join a new political party for many reasons. They may also take into account that they would lose their leader's allowance. That's around €35,000 a year.
Well, look, that's a factor, obviously. But I think it's bigger than that, Jerry.
It goes to the funding you'd need to start a party and to sustain it.
It does.
And,
Yeah, absolutely. It goes to need. When the PDs were launched, and the PDs now, by the way, are gone, another small party that, although they were strong enough at one stage, you know, they received the money from business to set up a party headquarters, to hire staff, all that kind of thing, and, to travel around the country and set up branches and all that. I mean, if you think back in it, the PDs won a seat in Limerick West at one time, which was unexpected. And then they had a very powerful, high-profile figure, political figure, as leader in Des O'Malley. And they faded away in time.
Unique circumstances. But the other point, though, and the final point, does Michael Fitzmaurice not have a point in the real politics of all of this? He's lying. It's hard to argue it. If you're not in the place where the piano's being played, you cannot call the tune. And you can shout and roar all you want and disagree and talk about the Greens and all they're doing wrong for the country. But if you're not at the cabinet table, you've little chance of forcing a future government to reverse course or change course.
That's true. Yeah, you have to be in there, ideally, around the cabinet table. There is a possibility, of course, that down the road again, you could see independents perhaps being
kingmakers,
invited to go on board, and as ministers, as happened, in the past, are holding the government, the balance of power and all that kind of thing. But, excuse me, that's true. But look at the practicality, Gary, of a rural party sitting down to negotiate a programme for government with other parties in the area of climate change, for instance, and with the emphasis on rural matters, which they would have to have. It wouldn't be easy to do it. And I can see look where he's coming from.
Is one of the reasons for that, Michael, because all of the other parties, effectively, where the legislation's in place now, if they wanted to really change things, they'd have to repeal legislation. And all of the other parties, including Sinn Féin, by and large, no, there's a way you can do it all right, but by and large, signed up to the direction that we're going in here. If the Greens aren't part of the next government, it doesn't mean all of a sudden the climate change thing will disappear. And they'd have to agree to it, some future party, be it Sinn Féin, Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, and to change things radically, which those parties may not want to do or not be able to do now.
Precisely. That ship has sailed. You know, let's be honest, that ship has sailed. Europe is breathing down our necks and all that kind of thing. And while certainly it can be strongly argued that successive governments haven't given enough attention to rural Ireland, and that's true, how do you remedy that? And take the Kerry five seater jury, assuming it's still a five seater after the division of constituencies, and you have, you know, the existing parties and the Healy Rays running, and there's a rural party candidate. Would he or she get elected?
You know, in order, yeah.
You know, they may, things may change, but they'd face, I mean, Michael Fitzmaurice has a strong base where he is, and that kind of thing, and other independent rural TDs have a strong base as of now. But to extend beyond that, you know, it would be a formidable electoral challenge.
Yeah, certainly would. Okay, Michael, stay on the line. We're going to talk a bit more about other things, including housing and Robert Watt, and is Leo Varadkar losing former trusted lieutenants by the truckload? That and more on the way after we take these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, Robert Watt, the General Secretary of the Department of Health, was before an Oireachtas Committee during the week. This is the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Public Expenditure and Reform, and the Taoiseach, to answer questions about the now, I suppose, aborted appointment of Tony Holohan to a position in academia paid for by the government. Here's a little bit of what Pierce Doherty and John McGuinness said to Mr. Watt in relation to their objections to how this whole thing went about.
Secretary of the Department have significant weight. And when you signed off on €2 million, potentially €20 million, without any authorisation in the estimates process, without any government approval...
We've answered these questions already, Deputy.
This isn't a question. This is a statement. Well, you did so, as the report found, breaching all protocols.
I'll leave it at that. We just conclude the meeting. Just one second, Mr. Rock. Just conclude the meeting. And, you know, I was just thinking as we were going through the questions. It's similar to the type of, you know, arrangement that was reached in relation to the increase for a salary of a Secretary General, where a small number of people made the decision. And I don't think that should be the case either in that case, or indeed in this case. But from your answers today, I think that the people listening in have an interest to this. Will make up their own minds. For me, as I said, I felt that it was a really bizarre exchange at times. And I say that as chairman, listening carefully to what was said on both sides. And it really disappoints me, the standard that I have witnessed here today. So if you have a closing statement, you can make it, Mr. Watt. Otherwise, we'll just conclude the meeting.
Thanks, Chair, very much. Yeah.
There you go, that's Robert Watt and some of the exchanges in the Oireachtas Committee during the week. This is extraordinary stuff, Michael. Reports of a row outside of the Oireachtas Committee or somewhere in Leinster House, stand-up disagreement between Robert Watt and Pierce Doherty of Sinn Féin, and calls in the newspapers this morning, government TDs increasingly unhappy with what they see as an arrogant style of Robert Watt, want him reined in. Now, it's not a new thing for politicians to be upset with civil servants, but what do you make of all this?
Yeah, Jerry, I sometimes think this country is a tale of two parables, really. You have the gathering in Kerry, the Kerry Writers' Museum in Listowel, for a distinguished man, Brendan Kennelly, a great man of letters. You see the volunteerism of the Kerry Association in Dublin and others, many organisations. And then you see the brass neck of senior civil servants and some politicians. I mean, this is shocking. What we have here is a man who came before a Dáil committee. He's running the Department of Health. He got an increase in his already super salary of 80 grand. 80 grand, Gerry, with the stroke of a pen. This is a government that won't pay nurses properly and other frontline health workers. And then he comes in and he gave, actually, I thought, a performance that demolished his credibility, particularly in the very forensic questioning by Pierce Doherty. Central to all of this is that procedures were not followed.
How concerning is that, Michael, that, and that point put in about, you know, small number of people making key decisions in relation to what should happen, and then the, I suppose, the unseemly nature of the row between the Taoiseach's chief person, Deirdre Collan, and Robert, and disagreement over what ended up in this independent report with regards to how this was carried out and how this was, it doesn't really, I suppose, at that top level, it doesn't really speak to a smooth functioning cooperative experience between senior civil servants who are playing a large part in running the country, does it?
It certainly does not. And I mean, Micheál Martin's pathetic attempt yesterday to defend Mr. Watford, he said he had restored stability to the Department of Health. We know the health services are dysfunctional in some sections, but he reported stability. What was going on there before this guy wandered in? Can I just quote briefly, Gerry, from Deirdre Gillan? Now, she is the Taoiseach's chief of staff. I know the woman, she's worked with Micheál Martin for years. And she says to the inquiry, this is one senior official in government talking about another senior official in government paid handsome salaries by the taxpayer. And she said, I want to be absolutely clear. The assertions made by the Secretary General of the Department of Health, as outlined in your email, are in terms grossly inaccurate and unwarranted. Now, that's one senior official, Gerry, to another. The other thing, the point I'd make here about Dr. Hoolan, and no one denies he did a very good job under difficult circumstances, but that was a pretty handsome academic post he was heading for, to Trinity for. And by the way, he wasn't going to be paid the academic rate in Trinity. He was going to retain his salary, which he had from the Department of Health. The other thing, Gerry, I would say is this. Did a good job? Okay, fair enough. The frontline health workers, the nurses and the doctors and all the others on the frontline during COVID were under much more were working, I would suggest, in much more stressful conditions.
Yeah, and well, look, a listener gets in touch, says, Michael, Mark McSharry's questioning over what this caller thought to McSharry was spot on and said everything the taxpayer wanted to say in relation to his controversy by Watt and Hoolahan. Yesterday afternoon, then, Micheál Martin stands up in the Dáil in reply to Holly Cairns and backs Watt 100%. Fianna Fáil will never change. What's your view on that comment, Michael?
I think that's a very fair comment. Very fair. I mean, Micheál Martin refused, actually, yesterday in the Dáil, to answer a key question from Holly Cairns about whether about Mr. Watt's performance at the Dáil committee. It's standard, Gerry, for somebody coming before a Dáil committee to make an opening statement. He treated the members with contempt by not making that opening statement, nor did he use the option of making a final statement. Yeah.
Let me put the devil's advocate here for a moment, Michael, okay? The style may not be edifying. The politicians may be upset. Maybe Micheál Martin and senior people in government have to back the Secretary-General because they've backed him now, or up to now, and pushed through the salary increase and all that. But maybe, look, maybe this is what you need. Civil servants for a long time have been accused of inertia and accused of not moving things on, not getting things done. And sometimes you need a bit of a bull in a china shop to get things done, to break the Department of Health, which hasn't covered itself in glory in the last few decades, out of the inertia that it can be in. And sometimes you need someone with a pricklish style, as the quote is from a couple of our TDs.
Well, the china's broken, Gerry, and we don't have much to show for it. I don't agree, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the scale of the money here, The procedures were fairly routine. You know, you go to the minister, you go to the secretary general of the government. Scale of the money here was huge. 2 million a year to Trinity over 10 years, 20 million. Is that the best way to do research into a pandemic? You know, the salary scale for Dr. Holohan, paid by the Department of Health. I mean, this was, if you look at it from Trinity's College's point of view, this was a sweet deal for Trinity College. Of course they'd grab it. But I think, I take your point that people sometimes, you know, have to cut through red tape. But there are also, there have to be procedures where public money is involved.
Yep, there certainly does. Michael, breaking news on the UK political front, by the way. The government into a bit of a mini crisis over there. Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab has resigned this morning from the government after a report investigating bullying allegations against him was handed to the Prime Minister. He said he'd promised to resign if the inquiry found evidence of bullying, and it's important to keep my word. Raab says the inquiry dismissed all but two of the claims made against him. Rishi Sunak is saying that he has to consider the situation now with regards to appointing a replacement and the overall issue there. So the Conservative government in a bit of turmoil there. What about our own government and our own leader, Michael, Leo Varadkar? Is he losing formerly loyal lieutenants by the truckload? John Paul Phelan, the latest man to go. Brendan Griffin stepping down. Michael Darcy gone, and others who would have been his key supporters. A lot of them gone or going from politics now.
Yeah, they were the key people around him, Gerry, when he became leader. His campaign for the leadership and all that. And they're going for various reasons. John Paul Phelan has a health issue, which he's dealing with. Brendan Griffin, of course. Brendan Griffin was badly treated. He should have been government chief whip. And Leo put his foot in it yesterday. This is, when politicians are under pressure, you know, they should think twice before making a comment to journalists. He was asked about it at a press conference. He said he wasn't the slightest bit concerned about people leaving like that. Instead of saying, you know, I'm sorry to lose these people, etc., etc. This is serious. Given the poll ratings for Fine Gael, Gerry, this is serious. Now, he's in cloud cuckoo land at the moment. He said yesterday that Fine Gael could win 45 seats, 10 more than in 2020. They're at 15% in some of the polls, so they are in trouble. What he needs now, of course, is to rebuild the base within the Fine Gael party and the Fine Gael parliamentary party as well. He's trying to do that with TDs and senators. A big test for him will be the European and local elections next year. He was brought in, Gerry, as a new kind of political leader, a young man. He was going to, you know, attract voters to Fine Gael, different type of politics, etc., etc. It hasn't worked out like that.
Okay, we'll see where it goes from here. Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your views on Call from the Dáil this week.